Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we start a new book, a new kitab. It's called Kitabul Hajj, the book of Hajj. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of performing Hajj, taking us there in the correct manner, allowing us to spend time in those Mubarak places in the correct way. And Allah Ta'ala also give us the tawfiq of returning from there in such a manner, how a Haji should return from Hajj in such a condition that he is completely forgiven. So the first chapter under this book, Babu Wujub al-Hajj wa Fadlihi, the obligation and the virtue of performing Hajj. So what is the meaning of Hajj? We always say the word Hajj, Hajj, Hajj. The literal meaning of Hajj is qasd. Qasd means to intend. So the literal meaning of Hajj is to intend. But from an Islamic definition perspective, it means to intend visiting the Kaaba Sharif for fulfillment of specific action of Hajj. In other words, it means to intend fulfilling the specific actions of Hajj. Hajj was an act of worship from the time of Adam alayhi salam. It is only compulsory upon those who have sufficient provisions and transportation to undertake the journey. In other words, a person has got the means, whatever the requirements are, he's got the means of performing the Hajj, then only it becomes necessary upon him. This is one of the beauties of Islam. Because imagine if it was compulsory upon a person even who didn't have the means, how that person would have felt. Therefore you find our pious people, Hazrat Imam Masihullah rahmatullahi alayhi and others, they will tell a person that wants to go for Hajj, he's got a lot of desire to go for Hajj and shock to go for Hajj, and sometimes it's the sadness he's got in his heart that I don't have that means to go for Hajj. So they'll tell him such in such a nice manner that Allah hasn't made it farz upon you. Why are you still feeling sad? You shouldn't feel sad for something that Allah hasn't made faraz upon you. If it is faraz upon you, in other words, you got the means and then you're not going, then you should have that sadness. But the sadness is not there. Allah Ta'ala didn't want you to go. He didn't give you the means. So there's nothing to be sad about. So this is the beauty of our deen. The person has got the means of going and then he goes, then that's a good thing. In other words, he's got the means. Hajj is faraz upon him. It's necessary upon him. And then he goes, it's a good thing. Often it happens, people go for nafil Hajj. They just go every year. And many, many people's rights get trampled upon. Example, they're owing people money. But that doesn't matter. They're going for Hajj, they're going for Umrah, they're coming and they're going. By trampling on people's rights, this is a very wrong thing. The right thing is a person should first fulfill all his debts. And then he has no further obligations, example, to his parents, to any elderly people. He's got no other obligations to his boss, etc. Then if he gets all the permission and all the go ahead, and then he goes, it's a different issue. But here we're talking about people that are eating up other people's rights. So anyway, moving on with Hajj. This is one of the beauties of Hajj. Allah Ta'ala has made it compulsory upon those who have sufficient means to go. Hajj is a unique form of worship in which one humbles oneself, spends his wealth, utilizes his strength, abstains from fulfilling his carnal desires, and turns exclusively to Allah Ta'ala. You find that certain ibadat, for example, salah, this is a badani ibadat. Badani means it's an ibadat that is performed with the body. You look at fasting, it's a ibadat that is performed with the body. But however, if you look at Hajj, it's got a mix of bodily ibadat and it's got a mix of mali ibadat. If you look at sadaqah, sadaqah is a mali ibadat. It's an ibadat, but it's done with a person's wealth. A person gives kafara. Now he's fulfilling, he's discharging what he would have done, discharged as far as the body is concerned. He can't do it as far as the body is concerned, so now he's giving kafara, he's now giving monetary ibadat. But if you look at Hajj, it's got a mix of both. There's both the bodily ibadat that is involved and the monetary ibadat because of the cost and the expenses of performing the Hajj together with the effort that is required with the body. So this is one unique factor about Hajj. It had both the mali and the badani ibadat in it. So the benefits of Hajj are many. A haji is saved from poverty, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. A haji never becomes destitute. A haji receives countless spiritual benefits and enjoys the divine mercy which descends upon the Kaaba Sharif every day. Hajj is the ultimate expression of a lover who is madly in love with Allah Ta'ala. One who ponders over the various rituals of Hajj will not fail to realize that Hajj is the ultimate journey of love. Why is the ultimate journey of love? It's because many things a person does doesn't make sense. Outwardly, it doesn't make sense. A person is a wealthy person. Allah has blessed him with wealth. Allah has blessed him with clothing. Allah has blessed him with good shoes, good socks. He's got good kurta, etc. But he leaves all that one side and he just wears two pieces of cloth. He walks bare feet. He leaves his hair open. Sometimes he's disheveled. He can't use perfume. He can't remove hair. So many things, so many restrictions he is in ihram. So now this in itself is a display of love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That all my amenities and all the abilities that I have got, that you have given me, Allah, I left it one side and I'm just adorning these two pieces of cloth. The richest of persons in the world is dressed exactly like the poorest person there on the plains of Arafah, or those that are doing the Hajj and now have got the ihram on. If you look, everyone is looking the same. So many things, a person is going around the Kaaba 7 times. Why 7 times? Why do I have to go around the Kaaba? What's the logic? What does Allah Ta'ala need us to go? It doesn't, outwardly a person can't make logical sense out of it, but this is a journey of love. What we are told to do it, and we do it out of love. We don't question why we are doing it. And so many million people must come from so far. Everyone from their own homes, they can make dua, they can read salah. Why must so many people come, take so much of trouble, come to one place on one day? The spot of Arafah is there, the spot of Muzdalifah is there, the spot of Mina is there throughout the year. Person can go on a quieter time and fulfill these rites, but why only on those specific days? All this now, logically we can't ration, but this is the command of Allah Ta'ala. This is what we have been shown by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we're doing it out of love. So therefore this is the journey that displays the love of a person. قال الله تعالى ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين. Allah Ta'ala says Hajj to the house is a duty that people who are able to find the way they owe to Allah. من استطاع إليه سبيلا, those that have got the ability, they've got the means, they've got a way to get there, they owe this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever rejects, ومن كفر فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ, whoever rejects, then surely Allah Ta'ala is independent of the entire universe. Whoever rejects this, it doesn't make sense. Why must we go? Why must we spend so much of money? It's so difficult. Can't go. This is talking about a person who hasn't made Hajj, and he's talking like this. Whoever rejects, then surely Allah Ta'ala is independent of the entire universe. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need you. Allah Ta'ala is completely independent. We need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. The beauty of our deen is that what we are told to do, we do it, and we do it happily. Sometimes people say, no, everything must make sense. Only if it makes sense, then I'll do it. It doesn't have to make sense. So long as it's shown to us in our deen, we are happy to do it. For example, a simple example, person breaks his wudu. He passes wind. Where does the wind exit from a person's body? But thereafter he makes wudu, which parts is he washing? He's washing his hands, he's washing his mouth, washing his face, washing his hands up to the elbow, feet, etc. Now logic, what logic will say? Where that wind may have come, that's a place where a person should be washing. But where does he wash? We are told to do this, we don't question why. Does it make sense? This is part of our deen. Allah Ta'ala has made it. Later on, science and other people will come and say, this is the benefit and these are the... But what we are told to do, we do it. Person making masah of the khufain with the leather socks. If you think about it logically, which part touches the ground? It's the bottom of the leather socks that are touching the ground as a person is walking. But which part we are told to make masah of? Make masah of the top, not of the bottom. Logically, we would have thought that we should make masah, we should clean the bottom. Why are we told to clean the top? This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whether logic agrees to it, doesn't agree to it, we accept it wholeheartedly. Another thing, the logic may tell us, the person is getting married, now why does he have to look so far, look here and look there? In his own house, he's got his sister there. He should be able to marry his sister. Why is this forbidden? Although a person logically may think this is the most practical thing, sometimes you get people that are twins, brother and sister, or the age gap between the brother and sister is not big. So this is the most logical thing that if we apply our own reasoning. However, Allah Ta'ala has made this haram, completely haram for a brother to marry a sister. So therefore we accept it, whether it makes sense to our logic or not, this is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore whatever we are told to do it happily, even though we understand, and sometimes we may not understand, But we know there is wisdom in whatever Allah Ta'ala has told us to do. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun al mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.